Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Richard Campbell podcast. I'm just kidding, that sounds so professional. I have Kiera here with me today. We also have a live audience, so if you hear some background commentary, just ignore the hooligans. And let's get this thing started. Kiera, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, she's nervous.
I am pretty nervous. I've never been on a podcast before, so this is new, but I really appreciate it, and I'm very honored that you chose Boring Old Me to be on your podcast.
Yeah, no, I'm grateful you did it. I need a lot of practice. I say a lot, as my wife tells me. So, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just, you know, trying to finish up my bachelor's degree, so I'm pretty busy, and that's pretty much it, and I work full-time, and that's me.
Bachelor's degree in?
Elementary education for now, but I want to pursue a master's in history or U.S. Constitution.
Sweet. So you want to be like a teacher who teaches stuff that we could actually use.
Exactly.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Cool. For all you liberal arts majors out there, they don't have teaching degrees for that.
No, they don't. But I am fascinated with history. I love America's history, and I just want to teach it right, teach it how it's supposed to be taught, and we'll see where it goes, whether that be high school or maybe even go on to get a doctorate to teach at a college or university. Time will tell.
Time will tell. So, if I remember correctly, you also went to college in Ohio?
Idaho, but close.
Idaho.
That's kind of.
What school was that?
So it was Brigham Young University, Idaho. I went there for 2 years, just got my associate's degree, and realized that scene wasn't for me. So I just got my associate's and just worked for a little while and then decided I wanted to go back to school and get my bachelor's and teach.
Brigham Young. Obviously, I'm going to bring that up. Just kidding. That sounds so... So, is that like exclusive to just members of the LDS community?
Or no, it's not. It's okay. Actually open for anybody to apply. You don't have to be a member of the church. I actually had one roommate in particular who wasn't, and
do they, so I have no idea.
Oh no, you're totally fine.
I've never done college or anything, I'm just curious. Do they have like, so I know they have a lot of like moral obligations they would like their members to follow. Does that like correlate into like the college life as well?
Yeah, I would say it does. Like, there's definitely, there's expectations to follow. And, you know, not that there's anything wrong with it. There's people who really benefit from that. For me, it just wasn't for me. Just because we had dress codes, which is fine. But there's definitely expectations that you have to follow. There's a curfew. So you can't be out past midnight on a school night and then one on the weekend.
How are you expected to do that as a college kid?
Well, I don't know. I was pretty busy with homework and studying anyway, so I didn't find myself out late anyways. No, I know. Fun. That's what I said. I'm pretty boring.
I'm a partier, so I...
We know.
Can't relate. We know. If you hear that, everybody, I like to smoke crack. No, not really. Anymore. Awkward.
Cue awkward.
Yeah.
Music, yeah. Or something.
Trevor with the commentary. Uniforms. So
no, not uniforms. Just
like there was a strict dress code.
Okay, code. Okay. So they were aiming towards everyone to dress more business casual.
Okay.
So that's really shifted in recent years because now jeans, depending on how you dress it up, is considered business casual. But at BYU, it couldn't have, like, your jeans couldn't have holes. You couldn't wear shorts, no flip-flops.
So that's not a bad thing, though. That, I mean, no, that creates
not
a professional,
yeah,
environment.
Exactly. You know? So, but, you know, to answer your question, yes, there are certain expectations and rules that you have to abide by. Yeah. Or I think another one, I don't know if this is still a rule, but men couldn't have beards unless it was trimmed nicely.
And yeah. Yeah, my job doesn't let me do that either, and I hate it.
So yeah, it was a fun experience, though. I feel like it was a good transition from living at home to kind of getting a taste of what it's like to be out on your own. But to a point, I was like, okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
I'm ready to be more of an adult, I guess.
More of an adult comes with responsibilities. All right. So you just had a test today. What test was that?
Yeah, so I just took my test. It's NES Elementary Education Subtest 1 and 2. It was like about 4 hours total. And I have to pass this test in order to get my state certification. So it was kind of a big deal.
That is a big deal.
Yeah.
I have no state certifications in anything. I literally Googled how to do a podcast and here we are.
But to be fair, like, someone Googled how to build a house and built a house. So, I mean, I feel like you can Google anything and everything and come out okay.
Yeah, yeah. I guess if you're willing to, like, learn and put in the work, yes.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people find Google and get, like, this instant gratification of the knowledge of the world at their fingertips. And then they stop learning and growing. Shoot, here we go again. Brain fart. My wife's gonna get mad at me. So I'm trying to approach this delicately, but you have like a semi-decent social media following, if I'm correct. You have a lot more than I do.
It's small, but I started with just a private account back in September, I believe. I was just exclusive with just people I knew, people I was friends with. But since I've became public, so just in the past 3 or 4 months, I've gained 1,200 followers. So it's been fun. It's a small following for sure still. Yeah. But I guess what shifted my opinion on being just a private account is I was tired of being quiet about what I believed in and wanted to share it with people who were either interested in the things that I had to say, or even those who weren't. I actually really like having dialogue with people who think differently, as long as it remains civil and not hateful. And so that's why I decided to, okay, I'm going to become a public account, and I want my voice and what I believe in to reach more people than just, you know, the 200 friends and family that I had on there before.
Yes. So that's very important. Have you yourself experienced any sort of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Not censorship, but like people who aren't willing to have civil discussions about what they believe in, because that's like a very important part of being American. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like 100%.
We're all American. We all have different opinions on things. And it's not right to like attack somebody or lump somebody into like a certain group for having different beliefs than them. If you, like, I'm sure you've had messages or something, people attacking you is...
Oh, yeah, I definitely have. And, in fact, in the beginning stages of it, it was to the point where I was questioning, do I really want my beliefs to be available for the world to see? Just because, I mean, I had people saying, you know, I want to see you dead. I am going to come find you and rape you. Just, you know, things like that. And it makes it hard to, how do I put it, see the common ground when I would never say that to a person, regardless of belief.
So the people that did express those kinds of messages, they're obviously weak little pussies. But besides that, they're not capable of like having a dialogue possibly like growing in the conversation.
Yeah. Well, know? And so in the beginning, it would really frustrate me and I felt like I had to say something to them to defend myself and to defend my beliefs and whatever. But now I won't even have conversations with people if they start the conversation with, I want you to die.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure it's a very small number of people. I mean, like, how many followers do you have?
I have 1,500 at the moment.
Okay. And so let's say, how many people do you think actually messaged you like that?
Out of the messages I get or out of the people that follow me? Because oftentimes the hate messages I get are people that have no desire to know what I have to say. They just
come across my profile,
whether it be like through a hashtag that I use on a post. They're scrolling, they find it, whatever. And so they feel like they have to come target me.
Is that how hashtags work?
Yes.
I have no idea how hashtags work, okay?
Okay.
I thought it was just this weird thing.
Do we need to do like a short like educational segue into...
What is a hashtag? Because I thought you would just like hashtag, you know.
So the purpose of a hashtag, I feel like it's definitely changed to what the original purpose of it was. But a hashtag is like a link for you to find. So let's say I did hashtag USA. I do that hashtag a lot. So that was the first thing that popped in my head. But if you click on that hashtag, it'll take you to every single picture that's used that hashtag. So now you can see everything that's hashtag USA. I used to follow hashtag conservative.
You can follow hashtags.
Yes, you can follow hashtags.
Okay, guys, just so we know, I turned 30 in a couple months.
And he was today years old when he found out what a hashtag was.
Do you have a Twitter?
I don't. So I'm like really hesitant to getting on Twitter only because I've lasted so long without getting a Twitter.
Me too. I've never even gone to the Twitter main page. Like somebody posts something Twitter and I'm like, oh, I don't know what the fuck that is.
It's mostly just me being stubborn because I've lasted. Same thing with TikTok. I never got a TikTok because I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit... I literally saw a video on Instagram where someone said that people who were born before 2000 are too old to use TikTok. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not even that old. But just because I've gone so long without getting one, I haven't. And that's just me being stubborn. But I've had people ask about getting a Twitter. I haven't yet. Just from what I've seen with the censorship and that, I'm just not really interested in it.
Have you experienced any sort of censorship on Instagram?
Oh, yeah. I totally have. Not to the extent of people like Charlie Kirk or those who are... you know, more in the mainstream, but I definitely have been on the receiving end of some censorship. I've had posts taken down or one in particular, I don't know if this is technically censorship or if it's just complete double standard, but I had someone in a comment on one of my pictures say, I want to see your body in a body bag, and you can actually report comments. So I was like, okay, like I don't... It was literally an innocent picture of myself. I don't want this comment here. So I went to report the comment and Instagram came back and said we didn't find anything that went against our community guidelines. But then I had a post of a picture of different types of silencers that go on guns and rifles with a picture of Mark Zuckerberg in it. And that picture and that post got taken down because it quote unquote went against the community guidelines.
Right. So you can't threaten to kill somebody.
You can threaten to kill somebody.
You can threaten... Yeah, you can... I don't even know what I'm saying. It doesn't make any sense.
It's backwards. So someone can post a comment, you know, and then it just makes me wonder, what if the roles were reversed? What if somebody who maybe leans more conservative had posted something that on someone who leans more liberal or leftist? And, I mean... would that post be taken down? It's just, I don't understand what is considered. Who are the people that are considering what is hate speech or what is just speech that they hate?
So I think, and I'm not defending them whatsoever, but I think it's mostly based off the algorithm, and the amount of people that agree or disagree with a certain post.
Just to like favor the masses, or
yes and no. I don't really know what I'm talking about. I've watched some videos talking about the algorithms, but like you got to understand is like there's only a certain amount of people
that they have. Was it Social Dilemma on Netflix?
I've watched that too. Oh, okay, yes. Sorry. I had my tripes with that, but Tristan is a really cool guy, and I fully agree that like Facebook shouldn't have so much control over like free speech.
Oh yeah. And that's a huge issue of concern right now.
Yeah, and like, don't get me wrong, dude, I'm an idiot. I barely understand this stuff as is. Just learned what hashtags were. But I think like a giant problem with like social media in general is like these social bubbles that we put ourselves in, right? Because we only respond and react to stuff we like, so it's only going to show us stuff we react and like to, and it's only going to link us with people who have the same sort of thought patterns that we do. And there's nothing wrong with that, except when it comes to like the part where we have to have like an open debate and find a solution and move forward.
Or at least a common ground.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't want to bring up any specific examples and get shut down so early. But there are things that I think we could find common ground on that people are just so stubborn and stuck in their ways. They don't even want to listen to like a possible solution. A lot of people don't even have solutions. You know, they're just pointing at problems and they're like, oh, here, fix that. It's like,
or it's your fault that it's not fixed.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I don't really trust the government to fix it either, dude.
Well, yeah. Well, that's a whole nother...
Like, I have a hard time picking a president, let alone, like, casting a vote for one, you know? And I'm really weary about where this country is heading if we don't, like, find a common ground and come together. Because our politicians shouldn't have so much fucking power influence over how we live our lives.
Well, a big issue with that is there needs to be congressional term limits, because we have these politicians who have been in there for longer than I've been alive. They you know, cater to their special interests, or those who are like, hey, you know, you are going to get reelected because everyone knows your name, so everyone's going to vote for you because you've been there for 1,000 years, but I want this in return for when you do. For my vote, I want this in return.
Here's $1,000,000 to your foundation.
So it's to the point, and it's on both sides. It's not just one. No, it's not on both sides. I don't know if you know who Matt Gaetz is, but I actually have a lot of respect for him because he actually doesn't take PAC money. Him and AOC, of all people, are one of few that don't take PAC money. But congressional term limits is a step forward to a solution for those in Congress not being able to have as much power as they do.
Yeah, I agree. AOC really doesn't take PAC money.
Yeah, so from what I've heard, so she is really implementing her socialist ideologies.
So that's kind of cool, but you know, also like, how much can we really trust her? Because, you know, a couple weeks ago, she was about to die
in the Capitol building. Riot.
Yeah, and she wasn't even in the same fucking building. Excuse my language, sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine.
But, like, I do find it very hard to, like, weed through the bullshit and pick, like, a politician who, like, I can at least stand behind. And I'm not so much, like, I'm not all the way red and I'm not all the way blue. I do love Dan Crenshaw. I love Tulsi Gabbard. I think Andrew Yang can help out a lot in New York. I just feel like, I mean, Tulsi Gabbard got totally fucking blackballed. And I mean, Sanders isn't the best, but I do think that Sanders has like good intentions at heart.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, the DNC just blackballed him and they gave us Biden, man. Like, what has that guy done besides ride off the coattails of Obama?
Well, he's put more African Americans in prison since his 1994 crime bill with Bill Clinton, but you know, we don't have to go there. But no, I agree. And I think, you know, I don't care that people know I voted for Donald Trump. He, in my opinion, is the best president I've had in my lifetime. But the big reason why I voted for him and even campaigned for some of him, the candidates, the Republican candidates, is because he's not a politician.
No, he's not.
He literally had no financial gain, no gain whatsoever by being president.
He's one of the few presidents in U.S. history that lost money taking the presidency.
Exactly. Because, you know, he donated all of his salary to charity, which is awesome. But, you know, that was a big reason. And that's why he did so well. That's why he, you know, shattered the records in 2016. Everyone thought that Hillary Clinton was for sure going to win. And everyone, you know, I guess you call it the silent majority, was like, nope, we're going to put a stop to this.
Well, I mean, not only that, but so like voter turnout has really gone up in the last like 10, 20 years. And it goes up more and more. I mean, what did he have, 77 million votes this year? And he lost the presidency, you know? But still, that's more votes than any other presidency besides the guy who beat him has ever received in U.S. history. So, like, I think people are starting to wake up, and there are a lot of, like, good people who, you know, aren't in these social bubbles on Facebook arguing with everybody, threatening to kill them. And it goes both ways too. I've seen, you know, dumb people comment on like Black Lives Matter stuff and say, oh, fuck them, you know, like I'm not gonna say what they said because it's really fucked up, but like it goes both ways. We have shitty people, and I think we need to like find a way to not be shitty people. God, I didn't want to talk about politics, but here we are. I wanted to talk about social media. What do you think about... Let's talk about a direct... This is going to catch some heat. What do you think about healthcare?
Oh, gosh.
What do you think about healthcare?
In regards to what? Like, should we make it universal?
Yeah, should we make...
No.
Why not?
There's a few reasons why I don't believe we should have universal healthcare. Is our healthcare system messed up? Yes, absolutely. And the person that I guess explains it the best way, I mean, I obviously have already mentioned Charlie Kirk before, but he does a really good job of laying out what needs to change in our healthcare system, but how we don't, it doesn't need to be universal. And so one of the things that he brings up is that when you go to a doctor's office, you don't really know what you're paying for.
No, you don't.
And the insurance company is a big problem with that, too. There needs to be a... He compares it to, like, a menu. Like, if you're going to a restaurant or whatever, and you know, like, what's priced out and whatever. But what it is it's these insurance companies and the medical field going back and forth to see who can make the most money out of charging X amount, I guess. So that's the big issue, is you go to the doctor's office, you don't know, is it going to be a $25 copay, or am I going to get a bill for $500 in the mail, because who knows what, that stick to check your throat was $50, I don't know.
Yeah, so here's something that I think we might disagree on. And I'm not very public about this opinion, but I do think that if the right politicians were to be in charge of writing the bills and the laws for it, that universal healthcare could be something plausible in, like, the richest and greatest country in the world. And I mean, like, I'm not saying that we should just go into debt doing it, but I think we should take, like, a hard bipartisan look at it and come up with, like, the best solution that works for everybody.
I disagree. Like I said, I do believe that there needs to be some sort of reform of the medical field, 1,000%. Making it universal, I don't think is the way to do that, in my opinion. One is, so take, my sister lived in England for a year and a half, for example. They have universal health care over there. And it was during COVID. She was on a church mission, so her companion, her roommate at the time, was having appendicitis-like symptoms. So she went to the hospital, and they turned her away because, oh, she's too young. We're not going to. Because we're so overwhelmed right now with everything that's going on, we're not going to see her because she's young. She'll be fine.
Well, they were turning people away here, too.
Were they, though? Because...
Yeah. All of the, like... day surgery centers where they do, like...
But that's a little bit different than appendicitis.
Yeah, that's lethal, I guess. You could probably die from it.
Yeah. But, or take it even a step further. You have, like, your older populations where they can refuse to serve the older populations for the sake of their own agenda. So, I don't think the government... Letting the government be in charge of healthcare for universal healthcare is a recipe for disaster, only because I'm a firm believer, if you can't tell already, I'm very conservative, that we should not give the government any more power than they already have. And we kind of talked about that in the beginning, about them having too much power, letting them have power over, let's just say, healthcare. So now they get to decide where you get your healthcare done, who you are seen by. They can regulate where you go. It's just, in my opinion, I just don't see it benefiting. And then not to mention the tax part of it. You know, us having to pay taxes because it's not free. And that's what people don't realize is, oh, I want free college. I want free healthcare. All these things. It's not free.
Yeah. So the free college, I disagree. We should not have free college. One of the reasons why college is so expensive these days is because the government started giving out student loans, mm-hmm. and approving anybody who signed on the dotted line. And so the college, which is most of the time a private business trying to make money, says, oh, the government's footing the bill? Oh, this used to cost $2,000, now it costs $4,000.
Yep.
This used to cost $10,000 a year, now it costs $20,000 a year.
Someone who is going to college and is finishing up her bachelor's degree, I can 100% attest that college is just, it's a money grab.
Yeah, for sure. These people are making massive amounts of money. Let college athletes advertise. Hear that, Nike? I'm on your side.
Oh, gosh.
Listen, Nike is fucking smart, dude, okay? They probably made billions of dollars off of this whole Black Lives Matter movement. And I don't get me wrong, people, I'm not opposed to Black Lives Matter, the movement. I'm opposed to Black Lives Matter, the organization, which is making money off of people's misery. And we probably shouldn't get into race. I don't know enough about it. I do know there are some things we need to fix. We're not perfect. But we live in America and it's getting better. And like, we should strive for better. But I just think it's super fucked up how, like, these people virtue signal to make a buck.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah, that's all it is.
And those that are benefiting from it financially directly are these elitist politicians who are directly funded by BLM Inc.
Yeah, and they're not doing anything to fix or change it. Which is a lot of the problem. I mean, the whole defund the police thing is ridiculous. I think we do probably need a little bit of police reform, but in a lot of these areas where you have a high Black population, the crime rate is super high. You know, there's drugs and gangs, and like that's a fucked up situation to grow up in, let yeah. alone like be successful coming out of that. And I do think like we should probably invest some money into like helping uplift these communities.
Yeah, like what Donald Trump did with his $500 billion platinum plan versus Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill. But anyways, that's a different story. I agree.
So what's the platinum plan?
So the platinum plan was introduced by Donald Trump with the help of, oh gosh, what is his name? 50 Cent. 50 Cent, right?
Was it 50 Cent?
Was it?
We're not talking about Yeezy?
Now I'm second guessing. Regardless of who it was, with the help of African Americans who are looked up to in this country, got together and they constructed what's called the Platinum Plan, which this plan issued by Donald Trump gives $500 billion back to Black communities. Those communities that you're talking about for education, for better housing, to create medical facilities. And things like that. The media didn't talk about it. Of course they didn't. But no, that was one of the things that Donald Trump did.
Was this like an executive order? Was it put into effect?
Yep.
Has there been any benefits of it? Do you know?
I don't know. Because it's still fairly... It happened... What was it? September, October of okay. last year. So okay. I know that those things take time. But yeah. he also...
Well, it's going to be generations till we actually see
benefit. Same with the promising funding for 10 years for historically... what do you call them? Historically Black colleges? What HBCUs.
Okay.
He promised them funding for the next 10 years as well. Because I think from my understanding before, it was a year-to-year basis. So they weren't sure if they were going to receive funding.
Yeah.
And he... promise them for the next 10 years that they would be funded. So
that's a good thing.
Exactly. It is. You would think that it would be a good thing, but the media didn't really talk about it. And, you know, it's Orange Man bad. And
yeah.
so everything else was disregarded, ignored, or wasn't even discussed.
So my whole thing with the mainstream media and God damn it, those cocksuckers. Everybody who's conservative or Republican, you're automatically labeled a racist.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fucked up, but I just, there's been so much problems lately in America and we've been so divided and I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but like divide and conquer, dude. They make us fight amongst ourselves. They exploit these small isolated incidents and then we're all of a sudden at each other's throats and then they pass bills in the middle of the night that take away more rights
and send our tax dollars to foreign countries.
Yeah. Why are we paying for sex education in fucking, where is it? Syria? Pakistan? Like gender studies in
gender
Pakistan?
Gender studies. Yeah, it was gender studies.
We have our own problems we need to work on.
Well, and then it's like, here's my thing too. And it's it is really frustrating and scary. Where are these people saying, why are we sending money to Pakistan for gender studies? What did they do where we all of a sudden owe them money for gender studies in Pakistan?
So a lot of, that's a good point. But a lot of those places, it's like really looked down upon to be homosexual. Like where they'll implement really severe punishment for just, you know, liking a dude. And like, there's nothing wrong with that. So a lot of the ways that they get around that is if you're a gay man in one of those places, you feel pressured to instead turn transgender. That way it's more accepted that you sleep with whatever you like. It's not going to work, dude.
But being somebody's politically correct, it's well, and especially if you bring people on who are controversial, that's the word, right?
Oh, I got someone tomorrow, dude. Yeah. He's PC culture, bro. Wait, what is PC? That's people of color, huh? I don't even know all this stuff.
That's POC or BIPOC or is it POC if it's not BIPOC? I'm not sure, but because you're bringing people on with controversial viewpoints. You're going to upset people.
Yeah, dude. I hope y'all send me hate mail because I'm not even going to read it, dude. I'm not.
is what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, so then going back to the gender studies in Pakistan, you know, if that is the case, if, you know, because it is true in a lot of these other countries, it is looked down upon to, you know, it's looked down upon for a woman to show her face or to show her feminine side.
There are cultures in the Middle East that still practice slavery to this day.
Yeah.
Which is fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Or concentration camps in China, but that's another thing. But, so then it just goes to, okay, are we doing this because we feel generous? And if that's the case, why are we doing it in the middle of a COVID relief bill when we should be putting the American people first?
Yes. Yeah. Why was that in the middle of a COVID relief bill?
So then it brings me back to my first question. If that's the case, then why do we owe Pakistan? What did they do that we all of a sudden owe them billions of dollars in gender studies? If I like lost my train of thought.
That's okay. So I have another question. Do you feel like the American people were paid off to not disagree with this new stimulus bill? Because they were like, oh, here's some money, but we're also going to send money everywhere else too. Do you find that?
Paid off in that sense that, we're sending billions of dollars, but you're going to get
here's $600. Yeah.
Honestly, no. I have like a few different thoughts on it. One, if it was really about the American people, then it would not be sent elsewhere. If it is like, oh, here's $600 to keep quiet while we send billions of your tax dollars to foreign countries, then is there something bigger happening, like a globalist agenda? Or I don't want to get, I'm not globalist, I'm agenda. Not a conspiracy theorist, but when we start feeling responsible to fund these other countries without putting the Americans first, because we live in America, we're Americans, we're all going through this pandemic in the world, yes. But I'm sorry, I don't know of any other tax dollars from other countries that are coming to America.
They're not.
But that's what I'm...
We foot the bill. We definitely foot the bill. I'm not opposed... Like, when you ask me, like, morally, if I'm opposed to these ideas, I'm not.
What ideas, specifically?
Well, like, you know, if we are really sending money over there for gender studies programs, I'm not like morally conflicted with that idea, but is that where that money is really going? You know, it's just like with the Paris
climate accord. I'm morally conflicted with it, but
I love everybody, dude. I don't care.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Gay, but straight, you like the knob, you don't, dude. Who cares?
But I don't think that's what that's about.
No, and I don't either.
You can be accepting of people and their cultural differences, their sexual orientation. You can still be loving and kind, but to send your tax dollars during a world pandemic that should be going to you to help those who are struggling during this pandemic in America, that's where it should stay. I don't think there's like a moral or a higher moral compass or whatever to send money, your tax dollars, elsewhere. That it's not even going for COVID relief. Oh, I mean, maybe that would be a different thing.
Yeah,
like, okay, yeah. We have this lump sum, you know, let's send it to these other countries who have been hit hard by COVID.
Yeah.
Would it be different? I feel a little bit like, more different about it.
So that's a good point. One of the things I do agree with that they're trying to do right now is they're sending COVID vaccinations to these countries who aren't as
developed.
Aren't as developed. Yeah. And like we are, I mean, fuck, dude, we just print money out, dude. Like what's the big deal? Send them some fucking vaccines and give them a fucking bump in their stock. Who gives a shit, dude? We're going to have some economic problems in the future, but don't worry about it, okay? Biden's going to figure them out.
Keep calm, Joe Biden is president.
yeah, dude. Your problems are solved.
Racism's been cured.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's where I am really frustrated. It's okay. Here, you get $600. You've been forced out of work. I mean, I've been fortunate. I was only unemployed for about a month, but I know people who are still out of work because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And we're going to send money. Here's $600. You can live off of $600.
So there were, Canada subsidized, 80% of people's incomes if they were laid off. And America gave us two checks. We got two checks from our politicians.
My thing is I don't want anything from the government. We should just reopen.
I agree with that. I do. 100%. If you got some COVID morbidity factors or you're like over 65, stay home, play it safe, wear two masks. Yeah. You know?
Maybe three.
We'll
see. Give it four more months.
But like for the rest of us, I'm young and healthy. Yeah. I got Corona. I let everybody know who I was in contact with the week before. Mm-hmm. I stayed home. We quarantined. We did the whole thing. It wasn't that bad, dude. I mean,
it does affect everybody differently. But I think that because then here comes my conservative viewpoint is, are they really trying to, I guess, do what they think is best to slow the spread? Because remember, it's been a year since we're stopping the 2-week spread or whatever, so
it's been a year.
Yeah, well, coming up in March, so 11 months to slow the spread. The 2-week slow the spread, whatever, has lasted almost a year.
Listen, schools are open in Europe, not here.
They were having a New Year's Eve party in Wuhan where it started. But,
it looked like a blast. It looked like a lot of fun.
But we need to reopen our economy. We need to go back to work. Like you said, those who have other underlying factors or diseases or the elderly, stay home. But those who are well enough to work need to go back to work.
Yeah.
Our bodies were meant to fight off sicknesses and diseases. I'm not playing off what I know people who have died of COVID. I know it's a real thing. But I also know people who've died of pneumonia and the flu before COVID.
Yeah.
And I know it's different. I'm not trying to categorize them the same. I know it's different. But the last thing we need is the government handing out more money, people getting comfortable with these checks. Because a big issue with socialism that we've seen in all these socialist countries is that governments can run out of money. And when you become too dependent on it and you're not working, then what? So, that's socialism in itself is a totally different topic for another day. But we just need to reopen. We need to go back to school. We need to go back to work. They need to freaking reopen Disneyland.
Yeah, I want to go to Disneyland, dude.
I have mixed feelings about it. I'm like, I've been a diehard Disney until recently with the firing Disneyland of Gina.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really upset about
that. And there's that John guy. What's his name? John something, dude. He's got posts on his Instagram. He works for Disney. We should put conservative kids in a.
In a wood chipper. Yeah, he works for Pixar.
He works for Pixar. And yes. There's a picture of
this guy
holding kids over a wood chipper. But he still works there.
Oh, unity. This is how we're going to be unified.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong. It's the conservatives who
We're unified. Unless you have a different opinion than us, then you're.
Which brings me back to this whole COVID thing. Is it really about what is in our best interest for our health, or is it conformity?
Oh, it's a power grab, dude. Who's the fucking governor of California?
Newsom. Governor Newsom.
Closed everybody else's wineries.
Except for his own.
Left his open.
Yep.
How's this guy still in office?
Well, dude? They're trying to recall him, so... But okay,
hopefully
did you hear...
that
did you,
goes through.
Did you hear the ironic part of his recall, though?
No.
He wants signature validation.
He wants but we can't do that for a presidential election.
Exactly.
That's great, dude. Where do you get these fucking guys?
I was rolling when I read that. What? I'm not even surprised at this point. Then we have Cuomo in New York who freaking wrote a book on how well he handled COVID.
He was putting COVID patients in old people's homes.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I hope. I think Yang can do a lot of good in New York.
But do you think there are enough people who are either at least moderate to swing them to vote for him? Because New York is very highly dense blue. I did see a lot of...
But Andrew Yang is blue.
But he's moderate, though.
He is, but he's an intelligent guy. He's not a career politician. He has a lot of economic plans that I think would work. I mean, I'm not against a universal basic income. I'm really not.
A what?
Universal UBI. You know about UBI?
No.
So, and I don't think Andrew Yang will implement a UBI in New York, but when he was running for presidency, one of his major legs was a universal basic income. So, like, it's now hear me out. You're looking crazy. it's really not a bad idea. Basically, what it is everybody, no matter who you are, how much money you make, you get, you know, a couple hundred bucks. It's kind of like a grace money. You know, you have a little, like, you have a safety net, and they do it in Alaska. So don't fucking look at me like that, okay? But you get a certain amount of government money monthly, and it's supposed to help stimulate the economy and stimulate spending because, you know, you have more of money to spend. So you're going to buy more things, which is going to make our economy move.
Okay, but where does that money come from? Whose money is that? Is that tax? Does that come from taxes? Because then at that point, then you should just not have income tax. And then you can run states such as Texas or Nevada or Florida.
Well, I mean, we can impose a fucking 1%, one penny on every stock trade, and it would pay for it. A penny. Like, if I go in and buy Tesla stock at $100, I pay $100 and one penny, and that could generate the income.
Here's, you
know what I'm saying?
This is not really, like, politics. I mean, it is, but...
And listen, for everybody out there, I'm a retard, and Andrew Yang is way smarter than me, okay? I'm going to get canceled for saying the R word. You should at least look into it.
Universal based income.
Yes. You should at least look into it and develop your own opinion. Hear him explain it. He's way smarter than me. I barely know what I'm talking about.
I guess because that money, I mean, I guess unless you're adding it on the stocks, but...
Yes, at first, but it's going to come from the government.
But why, though? Because here's the thing, and this is like what I was saying, is this isn't really politic based, it's just me as an American, in my opinion. America citizens have become a very dependent group of people. We have become, you know, I'm just going to say it because I don't care if people dislike me, but we've become similar to a four-year-old in the grocery store throwing tantrums. When we don't get something, we don't get our way, we throw a fit instead of finding... And it's not everybody, but I do feel like we have an overwhelmingly large amount of millennials, Gen Z, who believe that somebody owes them something, whether that be the government, whether that be white people, whether that be whomever. People of this generation are expecting
that... They feel entitled.
Yeah. So I just believe because of... my beliefs, we need less reason for the government to control what we do.
Because I agree, but I think that more comes down to the representatives that we put into office. So that's the thing with, like, they try and get us with, like, their moral compass, you know, oh, we want to do all this good, yeah, blah blah blah, and then they come up with band-aid solutions. It's just like the raising the minimum wage to $15. I'm not opposed to that, but that is just a band-aid to a side effect of what the real problem is.
What's the real problem?
Lack of prosperity in America.
But is there lack of prosperity? Bring it back to, because that's like a socialism or socialist type of mindset versus more
having a livable minimum wage.
No, but equal distribution of poverty versus unequal distribution of wealth. I'm not
talking about equal distribution of wealth. Will never work. We will always have Jeff Bezos, and we will always have Elon Musk, my fucking hero. He's a badass,
by the way. Dude, he's so fucking cool. I wanted him so badly to be the one to step up to build, like, servers and stuff like that for more conservative platforms. So what happened with Parler doesn't happen again. But yeah, he is.
Yeah, and that's super fucked up in its own sense, because...
Back to the $15 minimum wage. I mean, I know you've seen it. I know. So I'm curious as to see what your argument is, because you're saying that there's a lack of prosperity in this country.
Not a lack of prosperity. It could be a combination of lack of education and funding for...
What about lack of responsibility or independence as well? Because there's an overwhelmingly large amount of people, like I said, in the millennium, Gen Z generation that don't want to go to work. Don't want to work for a living wage. And I'm sorry, but the people, no offense. The thing is with the $15 minimum wage, those jobs that are $10, $11 an hour, those are entry-level jobs. You're not meant to be that. You're not supposed to
live off of them. Yeah, and I get that. How do I explain what's in my head? So, like, we have a massive amount of entry-level jobs and not enough of the decent-paying jobs.
Okay, so we need to bring back more, like, technical schools and allow people to see, because schools teach, oh, you need to go to college, and if you don't go to college, you're looked down upon or doesn't look good when you're applying for a job and someone else has some useless degree, but oh, they have a degree, so we're going to hire them over whoever. But we need to bring back more technical schools. I don't think $15 universal minimum wage will do that, because you're going to lose more jobs.
No, I don't think the $15 minimum wage is going to change anything. I guess that's what I should say.
Loss of jobs.
McDonald's is going to pay a robot to warm up your burger, they're just going to have. Well, yeah, that's the thing too. Is all of these giant corporations like Target, Walmart, you know, they're going to be just fine. You're hurting the local burger joint up the street who their profit margin is extremely small. But you know, when you sell a billion pairs of shoes at $45 a piece all around the world, like, yeah, you can probably afford to pay your workers a little more. So there are corporations who like take advantage of the system. They're like, oh, well, we make a lot of fucking money, but we're going to pay our people shitty. And then there are the people who are working every fucking day trying to keep their business afloat. And now, on top of that, you put the stress of they have to give all of their employees raises too. I'm not opposed to having like a minimum wage where like entry level people can survive off of. But I just don't. Like, I don't think the raising of the minimum wage is going to fix the greater problem that... Because, I mean, one of the arguments is, you know, the average cost of housing or the average cost for a house is $3,000. You know, you have to prove that you make at least a quarter of that to be approved for that housing, and the wage doesn't cover that, right? But like, you raise the minimum wage, these people start making more. Oh, you make a little more money? Well, I'm gonna raise your rent a little bit, you know? The whole $15 minimum wage is like a band-aid to the problem.
It's like
I have a headache, so I'm gonna, you know, hit my foot with a hammer. Now my foot hurts and I'm not paying attention to my headache. That's how I feel about it. There are people who disagree, blah, blah, blah. I should have researched some of this stuff a little more. I didn't think about... I was like, we're just going to wing it. Here we go. And then we got into topics that everybody wants to argue about. Anyways, I hope we get drawn this year. I really hope we get drawn this year.
I do too. I haven't been drawn in like 4 or 5 years. So it's been a long time.
I haven't been hunting in a long time either. I think Brielle was like still in the womb the last time I went hunting. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited.
I am super excited. I love hunting. My dad is actually in Texas right now hog hunting, and I'm pretty jealous. But I totally hope we get drawn this year. I could use the meat, and it's my favorite thing to do.
So... feral pigs in Texas. Those motherfuckers are I don't even know what to say. Dude, I had no idea until, like, I started, like, looking into Texas a little more. But, like, I had no idea you could just take a domesticated pig and live him out in the fucking wilderness.
Yeah.
That motherfucker will grow tufts and hair and fuck you up in a couple months, dude. Yeah,
well, and people, that's what people do over there is they just buy, like, a ton of land for dirt cheap because it's very inexpensive to live in most places in Texas. And then they'll bring those hogs in and they'll raise them and they'll breed them and then they'll bring hunters in, and that's what they do for a living, is they just have people hunt these pigs on their property, and they get to take the meat home, and...
Well, and then the pigs get out, and it causes, like, you know, millions of dollars in agricultural damage, so they pay more people to come in and kill the pigs.
Yep.
There's a lot of sick hunts down in Texas that I wish I had more money to go do.
Same.
But anyways... I've been, like, nonstop, every night before I go to bed, I just look at hunting gear and hunting stuff, and I watch videos, I'm, like, obsessed with it. Tried to change the subject of discussion. You look like you have something you want to talk about.
Oh, no, just back to hunting. I did a little bit of archery in high school. Like, I did archery tournaments. I wasn't that great. But Trevor, I was just thinking of hunting. Trevor bought me a bunch of hunting gear back in September, October. Got me a new bow, some binos, and like the whole setup. I'm good to go. Rangefinder, new clothes.
Nice.
So hopefully I'll get to pick up archery a little bit more.
I love archery. I love the idea of archery. Like, you have to really go out there and work to have a successful hunt.
Yeah, it's definitely different than rifle hunting and more of a challenge, but it also, like, broadens, like, so if you don't get drawn, you can go pick up an over-the-counter archery tag.
I'm scared of archery. I mean, I've done an archery hunt, and I still feel really bad about this, but I hit him in the front shoulder. I aimed just a little too far forward, and we never found him, and I feel terrible about that. And it just came down to practice, you know, like a practice with me. It was my first archery hunt, and I was nervous, and, you know, all the stuff. And I still feel terrible about that, which is why I haven't really done archery since.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, I'm going out there, and Mother Nature and the wilderness and this animal, like I owe that animal an ethical, clean shot, and I feel bad about that one shot. So I don't know if I'll put in for archery again, but we'll see. Maybe if I buy a bow and I practice every day.
Yeah. Or at least just, you know, get one so you have one. So if you do decide.
I have a bow. I have two of them, actually.
Oh, nice.
They just sit in a storage shed.
Oh, well. Take them out and practice, and then you can feel more confident about archery hunting.
Yeah.
But no, I get it.
Well, should we wrap it up?
Sounds good.
Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Kira is a very intelligent woman, and she had to struggle with my lack of knowledge. I just spouted it out.
It was good. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for doing this. And have a great day.
You too.